Amazon Games says that AI won't be bad because it'll just take away the boring work. Plus, Atari wants retro fans to buy the same hardware with a different shell, and I bet it'll work. Tonight is August 25th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. It's the last hogwash for before Dragon Con. A Dragon Hogwash edition, I guess, of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. But we will not be here next week because we will be at Dragon Con. And, I know everybody would say, well, you should do the show from Dragon Con, and that is a logistical nightmare. So, no, we're not. We're not going to do it from there. So we will be back in 2 weeks. But we are here tonight, and we're going to talk about some gaming stuff as well as Dragon Con. But we are a podcast, and we also have a Discord server. If you go to vognetwork.com/discord, you might even see some things about us at the convention during the week. We will be posting some pictures there. And if you're trying to meet us, that is a great way to get in touch with us, to kind of work out somewhere that we can meet. And that would be great, because I would like to meet some of y'all, because I am going to be running around and I'm going to be in many different places. And I'll talk about those in just a little bit, because I talked a lot about them last week. But since then, I have been able to really like kind of finalize what I'm doing. I was on the Dragon Con town hall just the other night, on Thursday night, and talked about Artemis and the things that I'm excited about, the Japanese arcades. I got a Beatmania 2DX reference in there for all the people that are Bimani fans, and talked about some of the stuff that's going to be going on at Dragon Con that I'm excited about, because being promoted up to the main programming is actually kind of a big deal, and I hope that it goes well. I'm pretty sure it will, but hoping that it's really going well. I do want to talk about, before we get to that, before we get to Dragon Con, we show Dragon Con, we talk about Dragon Con. I like to sometimes bring up things that has been said, brought up about previous episodes. And we actually had this in our Discord. Thank you so much to 13X Forever for this, because a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the controllers from a third-party company that mimic old controllers. And I said, I don't know how to pronounce their name. And I never really learned. And it was explained to me that it was pronounced like Nintendo. So it is 8-bit Do is who we were talking to. And Nintendo, 8-bit Do. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, I got it now. Well, 13X Forever, who's an amazing repository of knowledge, and I'm so glad that they share that with us when we need it, actually said it started... The pronunciation of 8-bit Do started as a riff on Nintendo, but then they got in hot water for being too similar. Because I don't know if you know this, Nintendo is a legal department. I don't know if you know this or not, or if you've ever heard of it, but Nintendo, they have some lawyers. They do. And apparently, in order to distinguish themselves as far as possible, the current official guideline of this company that makes these third-party controllers is to pronounce it 8-bit Do, as in Scooby-Doo. So either way works. they are an Asian company, so following the typical Asian rules, the original version would still be the most appropriate. However, they have asked to be called 8-Bit Do in order to avoid the lawyers from Nintendo. Maybe if I called them Nintendo. You think they'd... No, I don't. I'm not gonna tempt the lawyers. But, so, the official pronunciation apparently is 8-Bit Do, which is what I actually was saying. And I'm like, is that right? And that's when we heard the 8-Bit Do. Fifth Dream says that's doo-doo. And you can say that a lot. That is probably an evergreen response to anything regarding Nintendo's legal team. Whenever Nintendo's legal team is mentioned, you can actually say, I think, you know, that's doo-doo is probably an appropriate response to whatever it is that Nintendo's legal team is in the news for. Thank you so much, 13X Forever, for sharing that. It is one of those things, like, when you only ever hear it read, or you only read it, you never actually hear it said. Pronunciation is hard, but if the creator says that something is pronounced a specific way, I respect the creator, and I do my best to call it that. Apparently, everybody does, too, unless they're talking about image formats, and then they're like, well, the creator is stupid and doesn't know how to name their own thing. And so I'm going to call it a different name, but you don't do that with anything else. It's just that one thing. DJ Rama S says 8-Bit Do controllers are pretty amazing. I have three of them. Fifth Dream says I have an SNES like one and it's really great for everything. Yes, I've actually got the SN30 Pro is the one I have, and it's a Bluetooth or wireless, so it works Bluetooth as well as I think like directly with your Switch and stuff like that. So I've got this that I got for my Raspberry Pi when I had that. And it is the SN30 Pro is basically a Super Nintendo controller with dual thumbsticks is essentially what it is. And Fifth Dream says, yep, same one, but wired. And the nice thing about this is it also works wired. So it has a USB-C port at the top, which is what you can charge it with, but it also, you can hardwire it to anything, and it works pretty good. And DJ Rama says, I have the Super Famicom version of that. So you could get them in different colors. I don't think the SN30 Pro specifically is still made. I think they've like got a different form, a new version that's got more features than this, but I love this thing. So 8-Bit Do, 8-B-I-T-D-O. And they make a lot of great controllers. And we were talking about it because of the Doom Super Nintendo game that Limited Run Games is coming out with that actually is an updated version of the Super Nintendo cartridge. Apparently has a controller being made by 8-Bit Do that has rumble support, and the Super Nintendo game will actually support it. So we'll see how that works. I actually think the SN30 Pro does have rumble support in it for like when you're using it on like emulators and stuff. So I think it does, but I can't remember. Dark Tatsuya says, I saw a video of the new SNES version. It looks really slick. Well, why didn't you share that in our Discord? Because I would have been playing it. Because I haven't seen it. I didn't know they put out a video. All I know is that they put out a tweet. And speaking of calling things the thing that... the creator called them tweets. So I'm going to still call that. But... all I saw was like the little post, the social media post, and I didn't see anything after that. Anyway, Dragon Con is next week. We are not going to be here. I am going to be participating in various events around the convention, mostly on the digital media track. But I am going to be hanging out with the video gaming track and then on main programming for a little bit. So I actually even haven't posted the graphic up on social media yet, but people get to see it here first. So this is going to be the same graphic you're going to see on social media. But Dragon Con starts on Thursday. And it really starts at like 5 o'clock on Thursday or something like that. So it's not all day Thursday. There are actually people that bought badges for Thursday and are upset that, you know, they're going to go there and nothing's going to be open because it really starts Friday. But there are events on Thursday night for the people that get in early. So Thursday is actually one of my busy days. Luckily, both events are in the exact same room. So At 5:30 p.m. in the Hilton Galleria 7 with the digital media track, I am actually on the digital media kickoff panel. And this is going to be streamed on Twitch and YouTube at DC Digital Media. So you can find it there. And I believe also on Facebook, I believe. So they stream on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. So you can actually see that panel live then, even if you are not at Dragon Con. Then at 7 o'clock, not streamed, that is our networking event that the Voice of Geeks Network is putting on. Introverts trying to teach people how to be extroverts. It's going to be amazing. But we're going to be putting that on, Rob and I, along with some of our friends on the digital media track. Then Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m., also streamed on the digital media track, Twitch and YouTube, Creating in the Digital World. That is going to be a panel that I am going to be on in Hilton Galleria 7. And then on Sunday at 2:30 p.m., I'm going to be in the Westin Peachtree Ballroom with the video gaming track because I am moderating a panel with the voice actors from Mass Effect. And this is Mass Effect, a retrospective. It's going to be featuring Mark Meer, Ash Rocha, Fred Tatasciore, and Courtney Taylor. And as far as I know, there is not a topic off the table. We have not yet been told otherwise. So we are still waiting on guidance, but we are going normal in terms of what properties can be talked about in the light of the SAG-AFTRA strike against video game companies. We are basically going as normal and until we are told otherwise. And then if we're told otherwise, we're going to pivot. So I get to moderate that panel with the Mass Effect voice actors. I got about an hour and a half through Mass Effect 2. So I actually played some Mass Effect 2 this week on the Legendary Edition. And if you're wondering, yes, the Legendary Edition does have the comic that recaps the events of Mass Effect 1 and lets you choose like who you save and who you choose and all that stuff. So it does have the comic. And then after that, at 4 o'clock, this is going to be streamed on the digital media track panels. Turning digital media skills into IRL skills. So this is the panel Rob and I are putting together with some other people, that friends of ours, on the digital media track about what we can learn, what we have learned from doing the streaming and the podcasting that you all know, that you see me do every Sunday night, and put it into other areas, either be it at work or on stage doing other events, like moderating panels with Mass Effect actors, or writing, or, you know, putting in, you know, production elements to work things. And there's a bunch of different ways we can put it, a bunch of different angles we can go with what skills are transferable to creating digital content, and then what things are transferable out and into the real world, and that can help you in your professional career if you don't make streaming and podcasting your career, which I do not. I do not do this for a living. I do other things for a living. But there are things that I've learned and I hone doing this that helped me in my professional world. And then at the bottom, because I kind of didn't know if I was going to do this or not. But if you notice at the bottom of this graphic, it also says, also welcoming Catherine Tate to the stage in the Marriott Imperial Ballroom on Friday at 2:30 p.m. and Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And I guess maybe this is kind of also like me trying to get validation that this is the right way to phrase it and the right thing to do, because I didn't want to list those as events I am appearing at, because Catherine Tate's not going to use a moderator. Catherine Tate is she's a very well-known actress, especially in the UK. She portrayed Donna Noble. She was a companion on Doctor Who. She was on, I think, the seventh season of The Office here in the U.S. She's had her own show in on television in the U.K. She's had her own stage show. She's very, very, but and she's a stand-up comedian. So she does not like the sitting behind a desk like it's a press conference. She doesn't like that. So she just runs the room herself. And she gets the questions, and it's basically just her on stage, and that's it. So I didn't want to list that, even though technically I am listed in the program as being on those. I didn't want to like list it on my social media, because I didn't want people... Nobody's going to go to see me, but I didn't want anybody to go to see me. And then I'm like, I'm on stage for 20 seconds, and then I'm gone. So I put it down at the bottom, because like it is cool. It is something I get to do. But I didn't list it as a panel. So it looks like I'm only doing five things, but I'm actually doing seven. And you never know. Anything can happen with any of the existing moderators. We are all basically on call. If another moderator can't make it to a panel, which, you know, happens, things happen at con. You just can't make it to something. And so I may be doing some other things on extremely short notice. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So if you are going to be at Dragon Con, that is where you're going to be able to find me. You can also find me in the app at as Bobby Blackwolf as a speaker, and you can see all of the things that I'm going to be at. The digital media panels are going to be the easiest to find me, except for the Sunday one, because the Sunday one I'm going to be running from a panel, and then I'm going to be running to another one right after. But especially that Thursday night event, if you are getting in early, you are getting in Thursday and you're there for the 7 o'clock, that is literally a networking event. It's not really a panel. It is going to be a networking event. People are going to be talking with each other. So that's going to be the best place to meet with us. So some of those panels I actually do denote on the social media posts that the people on podcast will be able to find. I do denote which ones are streaming on Twitch and YouTube. The Catherine Tate ones, if you do have a DragonCon TV membership, which is a streaming service that basically you can stream live panels from DragonCon, and it is a paid service. It is not free. I believe the Catherine Tate ones will be streaming live on DragonCon TV. I don't think the Mass Effect one will be, but I don't know. If you want to watch those and you are not coming to Dragon Con, you are absolutely free to get Dragon Con TV and pay for it. It's so you can see all the panels, all the great actor panels that are going on at Dragon Con. But the digital media track, the ones that are on Twitch and YouTube at DC Digital Media, those are not behind a paywall. Those are free. You can watch them. And all the content that the digital media track is putting on in two rooms, they're getting two channels. They have DC Digital Media and DC Digital Media 2. So that is where I'm going to be next week and why there's going to be no show. Let's talk about the news from this week, shall we? Let's do it. So obviously I am a huge fan of AI and video games, as we all know. I'm actually not. I did not get put on any panels about AI. I don't know if you noticed that. Last year at Dragon Con, I was on like two different panels and two different fan tracks about AI, and they all thought I was going to be like the person that liked AI because I'm a software developer by trade. They didn't expect me to also hate AI just as much as they did. But anyway, somebody who does not hate AI and wants to let you to know that AI is okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Amazon Games, which, yes, is still around. Video Game Chronicle reports that Amazon Games boss Christoph Hartman has said that he believes the addition of AI to game development workflows won't impact jobs, partly because we don't really have acting. Hartman made the comments in a new interview with IGN when he was asked about a major performer strike recently called by the SAG-AFTRA union after it failed to negotiate acceptable protections around the use of AI for its members. He replied, quote, "I mean, I got to be careful what is here because we are a big company and have to deal with all those organizations, so I don't really want to get in the middle of it. But when we talk about AI, first of all, hopefully it will help us to have new gameplay ideas, which has nothing to do with taking work away from anyone," unquote. Rob Roberts says, "Bobby Blackwolf here to confirm after playing 90 minutes of Mass Effect 2, there is no acting in video games." Hey now. S. Jonah Man says, "It won't impact jobs because the jobs were already impacted." But here's the thing. It will help us have new gameplay ideas. How will AI, hey, AI, ChatGPT, come up with a new gameplay idea for me? When you used to, you know, pay people to think tank new gameplay ideas and design and debate about new gameplay ideas. That used to be a job that humans did, but now we're going to have AI do the thinking of the new gameplay ideas, which is game design and people have gotten degrees in game design. And what he's saying is this is not going to impact jobs. It's only going to take the game designer's job. That's all it's going to do. Because it's not going to take work away from anyone. If you take the game design away from the game designer and give it to the AI, you're not taking work away from the game designer. He continues, quote, and especially for games, we don't really have acting. The majority of the team sits in programming, and that's not going to go away because that's all about innovation. If it takes something, it will be the really boring parts, unquote. Now, while that's a great thought, oh, it's going to take the boring, tedium stuff. It's great in the short term. Where that's going to hurt in the long term is the fact that junior developers or junior programmers or junior artists or junior writers, what they are given in order to learn and in order to hone their skills are the boring parts. That's what you give the juniors. That's what you give the interns. That is how people learn. When I was learning a new platform as a programmer, I was obviously not just out of college. This was, you know, later on in my career. But in order to learn the idiosyncrasies of the platform, what one of the other developers of the company did was he gave me his what we're going to call unit tests. And if you're a programmer, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not a programmer, I'll explain very quickly what unit tests are and try to not talk over your head. So a unit test is a block of code that executes a certain block of code that is actually real, and it makes sure that it does what you expect. It'll send in the proper inputs, and it'll check to make sure that it's getting the proper outputs. It'll send in bad inputs, and it'll check to make sure that it's getting the correct error back. That is a unit test. They are tedious. They suck. They actually sometimes take longer to write than the code you actually wrote. And everybody says, I can't wait for AI to do my unit test for me. But I learned so much about how the platform works that I was developing on because I wrote the unit tests for this other block of code that I didn't write. And I got to learn how the platform worked. If we took those away, if AI did your unit tests for you, A, you don't know if they're all accurate unless you look them over yourself. But B, now you've taken away the boring work that somebody can use to learn what you're trying to do so they can then graduate up to doing the not so boring work. That's why I always had an issue with them saying, oh, we're taking, you know, like the Barks when Ubisoft had their UI generator for writers that would actually do the Barks, which are like the chatter that the NPCs do while you walk down a street in Assassin's Creed. That's what junior writers used to write, were those Barks. And now they're like, well, now we don't need to have the junior writers do them anymore. We just have the AI do it. Because the way it worked is the junior writers wrote the Barks, and then the senior writers would check their work. And now, instead of the senior writers checking the work of junior writers, the senior writers are checking the work of AI, and the company saves money. So, unfortunately, you don't get senior writers unless you are a junior writer first. Questbuster says, Game GPT, please recycle Ubisoft Open World Template 454 and overlay it with the winning theme from the last survey. And as Sherman says, so instead of someone experienced handling it, an entry-level person will be in charge of making sure the AI isn't make something like a derpy Ronaldo statue, Ronaldo the soccer player. So you're not cultivating anything. You're not growing anyone into anything. So yeah, future will be weird. We see this a little bit already in terms of not teaching people and not training people up. And I'm going to be talking about kids. So kids, you know, and maybe teenagers. And you know, they're not all bad. Like, this is not a kids are dumb, kids are bad thing or anything like that. But we all started to believe that, well, kids know computers and technology more than we do. So we don't need to be, you know, we don't need to bore them with class, you know, things in class, because kids, they just know how to work it. And so what you're finding now is that a lot of young, not every, but many kids today don't know how their computer works. They don't know how to use a computer. They don't really know how to use a phone, their phone. They know how to use the apps on the phone, because we stopped teaching them how to use a computer. We stopped teaching them how computers work. Because they know it. They're kids. The young ones already always know it. So you actually now have kids that don't know how to do basic troubleshooting things on their computer, because we all assumed they knew it. And now that it's been obfuscated enough, Apple has obfuscated a lot of things, but so has Windows, so has Android. You don't need to tinker with your computer. You don't need to know how it works to get it to work. Now it just works. So they stop teaching it because it's not useful anymore. And now we've got a lot of kids that literally don't know how to use a computer. They're on their phones all the time. They use technology all the time. And they know how to use the apps that they're using. But they don't know how to repair. They don't even know how to, you know, do any kind of basic troubleshooting on a computer, which is what used to be like the adults didn't know, and they would call their kids and the kids would know it. Well, now the adults know it and the kids don't, because the kids were never taught. Questbuster says, it's funny. There's a theme in Warhammer 40K and MechWarrior where technology advanced to the point where certain elements of it are so complex that those who can keep it working are regarded in near religious context because no one else understands it or can understand it. Hang on. Breakman has a comment. Breakman has a comment, and I'm going to figure it. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to hit this button here so we can do this. So this is a Breakman comment.
In a desolate world, only one man stands against the greatest threat humanity has ever faced. The AI wants to destroy us all, but fear not. One man will stand up to them and protect us all. His name is Bobby Blackwolf.
As Jeremy's like, oh no, is a Breakman is right alert? No, Breakman's not right. But, you know, I wanted to do that. DJ Rama S says, Bobby, every class of internet trainees and new hires I teach, most of them do not know how to shut down or restart a PC or a Mac. That's why when we were younger, and even though I know I'm older, even people that are in their 30s were all taught how to do like basic computer things. Then we stopped doing that because everybody knows how to do it. And so AI is going to be doing the same thing. So where it's tying into the story that's on the screen right now is that, you know, we are now going to stop teaching people how to make games, because we're just going to say, well, the AI is going to make the game, and you're just going to make sure that the AI doesn't screw it up. But if you don't know how to make the game, we're going to start having people that don't understand how to actually do it, because all they're going to be taught is, well, here's what you prompt the AI to get it to do that. The thing that is interesting about the revolution of AI and GPT, which is the scary part of this, maybe scary is a very harsh word, but the worrying part of this is, if you didn't know what OpenAI's big innovation was in order to get ChatGPT to be what it is. Because we have had generative AI and predictive text for decades. Eliza was a big thing in the 80s, which was the same type of thing. And, you know, language models existed for a long time. You had the autocorrect, you know, the prediction on your phone. When you would type a word, you could just type the center thing and it would predict what you're saying. So what OpenAI did, their big innovation, was A, having it have a much larger data set that it's pulling from. But there's a second thing that they did. that you don't hear talked about a lot, but it was the big innovation that put them over the top. They introduced randomness, because if they didn't introduce any randomness into what it was spitting back out, it sounded too dry. And so OpenAI's big innovation was sometimes not saying the thing that would most likely follow. Sometimes go off in a different direction. And they intended to be just in tone, you know, so it's not writing in a stuffy language like most things it's been trained on. Sometimes it'll go off and respond in a more relaxed manner. And that's because of the randomness, which is why it will give you wrong answers sometimes, is because it's sometimes randomly deciding, do I give answer A and answer B? It doesn't know that answer A is the right one and answer B is the wrong one. It just knows that there are two answers. And it may think, well, most of the time we're in, you know, answer A is what is said, but I'm going to roll the dice. Oh, I'm going to give you answer B instead. That's why I kind of worry about the AI. And that's why sometimes you can have an AI, the same AI trained on the same data, give it the same problem, and it might actually give you multiple different answers, and not all of them are right, or maybe none of them are right. In an earlier response, we're going back to this article, Hartman said that he hoped the introduction of artificial intelligence could speed up the development of video games because it, quote, takes way too long, like 5 years per game. Ideally, we would like to get it down to 3 years so we can iterate more, which will then bring the budgets down a little bit. I don't think they're really going to get cheaper, but at least you fail faster, and then you can go on and on until you find the right thing, unquote. So Amazon Games says AI is fine, y'all. You know, don't worry about it. What games do they have? Like, because they're like, our games don't really have actors. Amazon Games. Like, is there something that actually says, like, what games they have put out that don't have any act? Let's see here. Untitled Lord of the Rings MMORPG. Untitled story-driven role-playing game. Untitled narrative-led open-world driving game. None of those apparently have actors, according to Amazon Games boss Christoph Hartman. They don't really have acting. New World is probably the game that a lot of people are talking about. Robert says that MMO that came out like a flash in the pan, New World. I guess New World didn't have anybody act in it. Is that what it was? Questbuster says it had cinematics with acting, unless everyone that played the MMO were hallucinating. I mean, you know, maybe it, you know, maybe they didn't have acting in it. I don't know. So this week, there was something that was actually something that had been announced, and I don't know why. I do know why, but I don't know who really would buy it, especially if they bought the previous version. But Atari has announced yet another classic console. Destructoid reports that Atari and PlayOn have announced that they'll follow up on their Atari 2600 Plus console with another reissue from their classic line. This one is the Atari 7800 Plus, based on the 1986-ish console. So the Atari 2600 Plus already plays 7800 games. So we already have the hardware for this. I actually have the 2600 Plus. I just don't have any games. Like, I don't have any 7800 games. But this does come with a wireless version of the CX78 gamepad. And it connects to a wireless DB9 adapter, which means it also works with the Atari 2600 Plus and even original hardware and probably other platforms that use DB9, such as the Commodore 64 and the Sega Master System, but that's not confirmed. There are only 59 games released during the console's original lifespan, and it's not nearly as ubiquitous as the Atari 2600. So alongside the 7800 Plus, Atari is releasing a lineup of cartridge games rather than just reissues that are largely homebrew ports by prolific developer Robert DiCrescenzo, including Asteroids Deluxe, Bounty Bob Strikes Back, Bentley Bears Crystal Quest, Space Fuel, Frenzy, and Berserk. They're also releasing additional 2600 games, Cavern of Mars, Epic's Game Collection, M Network Collection, and Real Sports Collection. So this is going to be available sometime in winter of 2024. Dark Tessia says, then the controllers have two buttons, so I get doing new controllers. But I guess my thing is, I mean, I get why they're doing it, because they want people to double dip. They want people to get the new hardware. But this is literally the same hardware on the inside. They're just releasing a different controller. And if you could probably get that controller and have it work on your 2600 Plus. But yes, the 7800 controllers, I believe, did have two buttons. So that's why you needed a new controller for it. Tacklaw asks, will they ever do the Atari that had the built-in keyboard? So one of the Atari computers. Maybe that is something that not everybody has tried. Like, we've only gotten one of those that actually had the keyboard built in, and that's the Commodore 64. And I've actually got the limited time Commodore 64 Maxi that you can't get anymore. You've got that, but really what they've got is the C64 Mini is the one that most people have, which doesn't have a working keyboard. You plug in a USB keyboard to it. And I believe they've done the same with the Amiga. But it's not, there's no keyboard on the Amiga that they've re-released. It is, again, a USB, you plug in a USB keyboard. Breakman says, LOL, poor kids like me got the 7800 on closeout while friends were playing the NES. Esther Matt says, they did do the Atari 400 Mini earlier this year, but the keyboard was not working. So it was another one of those, like, it was a small console. It had probably had the keyboard on it, but it was, you know, just for show. And you would have to plug in something like a USB keyboard in order to use the keyboard. So Breakman says, I have an actual Atari 7800. I want to know more. So it is over at Atari.com. It is going to be $129.99. It's going to come, I believe, let's see here. So it plays both the Atari 2600 and the 7800 game cartridges. Near perfect compatibility with original and third-party Atari games. Remember, these consoles are software emulation. So it is not hardware emulation. It's not FPGA. It is software emulation. But the Atari consoles were not that difficult, so they have pretty much gotten near-perfect emulation at this point. It's not as hard as, like, a Nintendo 64. It includes the new wireless CX78 Plus gamepad for all of your two-button gaming needs. So the Atari 2600 Plus just came with a wired joystick that you could even use on original hardware. But this includes a wireless thing, but it's not Bluetooth. It is just an adapter that goes into the port, the joystick port. Easily connects to any screen with HDMI, widescreen or 4x3 viewing options for all displays. Included cartridge is Bentley Bear's newest 7800 adventure, Bentley Bear's Crystal Quest. So there are still homebrew developers developing things for the 7800. And they actually come with one of the cartridges. And those cartridges would work in your original 7800. When I got the 2600 Plus, I got some of the homebrew cartridges that worked in it, and I went down to my actual 2600, plugged them in, and they worked just fine. And a USB-C charging cable, wall charging plug, not included. So, once again, no plug included. Look at that, right? I'm very disappointed. I am out of wall charging plugs. I have reused all of the wall charging plugs that I've had from other phones. So I don't have any more. And you can get you can also get the gamepad. If you have the Atari 2600 Plus, you can get the CX78 Plus wireless gamepad for $34.99 on its own. Berserk you can buy for $29.99, and what they've done with a lot of these is that they've just repressed the cartridge. Sometimes they've added new things, but other times it's just like, we're gonna make new versions of the cartridge so you can get them. Bounty Bob Strikes Back 7800. So those are some of the games that they've got that you can get over at Atari.com. SJR Matt says, I have the Atari 400 Mini, and to be honest, it wasn't a big part of my childhood. I probably wouldn't have gotten it. If it wasn't a big part of my childhood, I would not have gotten it. Many of the 8-bit era Atari games that can be played on it exist in other means. So it's nice. Like, I've got a bunch of mini consoles, so I get it. I've got two versions of the Commodore 64. I've got the one that works with the keyboard, and I've got the Mini. As well, but then I actually have the PlayStation Classic. I've used it once. I've got the NES and the SNES Classic. I've got the Genesis Classic and the Neo Geo, or not the Neo Geo, the TurboGrafx one. So I get it. I get it. I will say that my thought of having them easily available to play on all the time, that didn't wind up happening. They actually just sit on the shelf over here. But I get it for people that really that love those games, and they may not want to try to deal with getting the original hardware working. So the last story I'm going to talk about tonight is about a mobile game that is coming, that is going away. It is shutting down, but it's getting shut down in, I guess, the nicest way possible. The Verge reports that 7 years after launching on iOS and Android, Nintendo has announced that online service for Animal Crossing Pocket Camp will be ending on November 28th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. In a statement, Nintendo assured current players that they would still be able to fully enjoy the game for 3 more months, saying, quote, "We will continue to hold events and add items until the service end date," unquote. In addition to the game shutting down on the 28th, Leaf tickets, which could be used to expedite building of campsite accessories, will no longer be available for purchase starting on November 27th. As of October 28th, new monthly Pocket Camp Club subscriptions will also no longer be accepted, and existing subscriptions to all three tiers will no longer automatically renew. Now, November will not be the permanent end of the trail for Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Nintendo says that players and their save data can be carried over to a new version of the game currently in development by linking their Nintendo accounts. The company doesn't plan to reveal the new version until sometime in October, but shared a few details saying that it will be a, quote, paid app without in-app purchases, unquote, and will not require a constant internet connection to be played. So what they're actually doing is Pocket Camp was the Animal Crossing they put out on mobile where you're basically building a campsite and you have villagers and friends come in your campsite. And it was a live service game. And it had, you know, timing things and things like that. And what they're doing is your save game, because some people have been playing it for 7 years. What they're saying is, you know what, you're going to pay one time fee, get a new app. Your save data will come in. You will have all your campsite. You'll have all your villagers, and you're going to get to play it until your phone dies. And I think that's the right way to do it. Like, if you don't want to support the servers anymore, give us a version that we can play offline. And that's exactly what Nintendo's doing here. So if people say Nintendo doesn't listen and doesn't change and, you know, all that stuff, they are, because they didn't do this for Dragalia Lost. They shut Dragalia Lost and it's lost. It's gone. Like, there's no way to play it anymore. But this, they're saying, okay, you know, instead of, you know, pulling the crew on you, we'll give you a version. You're going to have to pay us a one-time fee because we're not going to make it a free update. But there's going to be a version that you're going to be able to transfer your data to, and you're going to be able to continue the game offline for the rest of until your hardware can't run it anymore. The Breakman says it's not real Animal Crossing unless some crooked animal tricks you into lifetime indentured servitude. I mean, that's why people don't want the game to shut down, is because they still have to pay Tom Nook back. So it sucks that that they're shutting it down, but at some point, if people aren't playing it, it's not worth it to keep it running. And they're doing the right thing by, you know, not losing it entirely, but they're giving people an option to continue playing it. Nintendo is shifting away from mobile. In 2015, Nintendo released Miitomo. Remember Miitomo? It was like a social network type of thing. Followed by more ambitious apps like Super Mario Run in 2016, Fire Emblem Heroes and Pocket Camp in 2017, and Mario Kart Tour in 2019. In the past 5 years, they haven't done much of anything on iOS and Android, but at least the company isn't shutting down Pocket Camp entirely. But Dragalia Lost, they absolutely shut down entirely, and that's it. It's over. S.J.Man says, finally, someone took Tom Nook to housing court for overcharging bells. Finally, we are going to take a very quick music break, and then we'll talk to Rob, and we'll talk about what's going to be going on on Orange Lounge Radio tonight, and maybe a little more about what we're doing next week. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
I know, I played that bumper twice in a row. I get it. But it's because I'm the favorite podcast on the Siddle, and I'm doing Mass Effect with Male Shep. I've already met Fem Shep. I get to meet Male Shep and talk with the crew then at DragonCon, which, by the way, it was pointed out to me in private that my graphic that I have not posted anywhere yet is actually incorrect. So all those, when I was talking about the digital media track rooms, they're actually all in Hilton Galleria 6, not 7, which is next door. I just had the wrong number on this graphic. And since I haven't posted the graphic anywhere, the only people that know are all of you here watching and listening to the podcast. So be nice. I haven't posted yet. I will be able to fix it. And then we will be able to, then you can find me. But I'm also in the app, in the DragonCon app, and that's going to have anything that changes from that. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on there. So Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, Bobby. I'm here. How are you?
I am doing well. So the Atari 7800 Plus. Did you get the 2600 Plus?
No, not the one that plays the actual cartridges. Right. I got a different thing from Costco that has like a mishmash of other games. No, I didn't get the one that Brad wrote the review for our website for a few months ago. Yeah.
So would you be interested now in getting the 7800 Plus that looks like a 7800 and still has all the features of the 2600 Plus?
Realistically, probably not. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I know I'm wishy-washy on it. I'm very much in this purge mode where I probably need to have less stuff in this house, like arcade machines, not more, but it is tempting, especially, you know, since it does have kind of the features of the old machine too. I don't know, we'll see what Santa has in store.
I will say, like, it's kind of interesting because I buy these things because I do get them, and I should be in purge mode too, but I'm not. But like I buy all these classic consoles and I'll use them like once, maybe twice. Then they go right back in their boxes.
I've also been to Black Wolf Manor. You have a little more space than I do.
I do, but but it's like accumulate. I don't have like space to like keep them all hooked up. If I want to
with all
do
the
some
USB-C cables, you have to buy.
I know. And like the thing that, you know, like at least the 7800, they have the wireless stick, which, you know, I could get for the 2600 Plus. But most of those games are 2600, and I don't see that they have a wireless 2600 joystick. You know, they have a gamepad like the 7800. So, but like, you know, so that's kind of hampered a little bit because a lot of the classic consoles, and I'm going back to like the NES and the SNES and the Genesis and all that stuff, that's all wired, which is great for, you know, authenticity. So it feels right. But it's like my TV's too far away from where my where I'm sitting, and so having the console cord go all the way across, it means that I don't use those classic consoles as much.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it's like, but then I still buy them.
Because you got to have them, especially Nintendo being relatively early on in the classic console rampage, really created the scarcity issue where if you don't buy one now, you're never going to have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because like, I mean, and even like the one that I like the most, which is the Commodore 64, I'm going to call it the Maxi, but it's because they have the C64 because they can't legally say the word Commodore. So it's the C64 Mini and the C64. You can't get them anymore. Like the C64 permanent back order. Like they don't make any more of those. And it's not, you know, artificial scarcity. It's just they don't have the money to keep making them. And it's already a niche product that, you know, they're hoping that people who wanted it jumped on it and were able to get it. And that's my favorite one. But even then, it sits on that shelf over there with a light on top of it. It's not actually hooked up all the time.
Didn't they doing a third version of that at some point?
I think they did an Amiga.
They did.
Or something.
They did do an Amiga.
Yeah.
I guess they never did like a C64C because that was the thing. Yeah. The white Commodore. Yeah. Yeah. That was the thing. But yeah, I guess I never did get around to that. So
Esther Man asks, would it let you, does it let you use the Atari VCS wireless controller? The other mini consoles do let you do that. The thing of, I guess the way that the 2600 Plus and the 7800 Plus work is that it actually has the DB9 connector, which is the, it's got little nine little dots. It's the same connector that was on the original Atari 2600, but also the Commodore 64 and the Sega Genesis and the Sega Master System. So, right, yep. But it, so the Atari VCS wireless controller, if it's USB, there's no USB port on the 2600 Plus or the 7800 Plus. So you would need to have an adapter, and apparently the CX78 that they're selling does come with an adapter that plugs into that, but it uses, that is for that controller, and I don't know if there's a joystick, you know, like an Atari that is also wireless. They've made them before, but I don't know if there are any that work with the DB9 connector. There could be.
Just do Bluetooth and let me use a PS5 controller. Like, yeah. I know it's not the authentic experience by any means, but, mm-hmm. you know, the PlayStation is a pretty darn good controller.
Or
I
let
don't
me
mind
use,
playing most games with it.
Or let me use my 8-bit Doo, because they want me to call it 8-bit Doo, like Scooby-Doo.
Hot Shots Part Doo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what they said. Nintendo's lawyers are real, and they're scared of them. So, but, like, let me use that, because 8-bit Doo makes some pretty good controllers that do mimic the feel of, and they're Bluetooth, or, you know, like this one especially, like, actually also works with Switch, like, directly, not via Bluetooth, but, and so it's actually, you know, let me use those. Yeah. Are you packed yet?
Oh gosh, no, barely started. Just getting some shopping done. I got some new shirts.
Okay.
I just got here. So excited mm-hmm. to have some new wardrobe this year for Dragon Con. But it's weird that less than 72 hours away.
I know.
I'm going to be in Atlanta.
I know.
Wild, wild. Yep.
Yeah, everybody's like, you get it on Wednesday? And I'm like, yes, I get it on Wednesday.
And it's starting to feel not soon enough. There's legit things happening Wednesday, at least as far as, like, it's like the pre-parties now are Wednesday, because the official kickoff is Thursday. And, like, a lot of people are booked like you on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And legitimately, there's unofficial official meetup Wednesday 7 o'clock, like mm-hmm. that was talked about at the town hall that we were just on last week. So like there's it's not an official event, wink, but there's something happening Wednesday 7 o'clock, and then the joystick game bar with the classic arcade machines will be open on Wednesday. So legitimately Wednesday is the new Thursday.
Yes. And so soon you're going to be coming in on Tuesday.
I'm starting to worry that I might have to come in on Tuesday, depending on what all's going on. I know one of the other moderators who comes from the West Coast, who used to live nearby but moved to the West Coast, comes in on Tuesday. And I'm like, that's starting to sound more and more like a better idea. But I think if I did that, I probably – well, I keep thinking I would leave on Monday again, but there are some good after parties too. So it's like, oh. Yeah. It really is a week-long commitment.
It is. It is. And I live here.
The most fun week of the year.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. We've got some amazing stuff going on. They actually added somebody to your Star Wars panel. Did you not notice that?
No, they added somebody. I didn't know. Is it Manny Jacinto?
It is. Because he was an acolyte, so they added him to the panel with your Star Wars.
The last time I checked, they hadn't added him yet. And that was the day they announced him. And I was like, oh, okay, it's probably just, you know, probably not going to happen. You have to understand, I love The Good Place.
Oh,
it's
I do too.
One of my favorite
I do
TV
too.
Shows ever. So, oh my gosh, that's exciting. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I have a certain friend that got me into that show that's going to be very, very, very jealous.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's going to be a good time. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And I believe they're actually running that panel twice. And I think the second time the person is they've got Ming-Na Wen is the person on the panel.
Oh my gosh. I love her. Wasn't she Chun-Li in the original Street Fighter movie?
She was. It was Tuesday.
I knew it.
It was Tuesday.
It's going to be a Tuesday soon when I get to Atlanta, the way things are going.
There's that. I think you even had something added, and you never know what's going to happen. Like, we may show up. You may, you know, people at Dragon Con may be on a panel, and suddenly we're up there on stage.
Yes. I'll quickly state the retro gaming panel I was going to be doing, unfortunately, will not be a part of that panel anymore. But that is streamed online. The other panel I'm doing is not. So So I would still encourage you to support Ash Said Hi and the other awesome content creators that are going to be on that panel. Unfortunately, I had to get pulled off. That's just the way things work. I'm going to be doing instead a panel with a voice actress. Her name is Amelia Gotham, and she plays Mipha in Princess Mipha in the Zelda games. So if you know Breath of the Wild, and especially Age of Calamity and all that was big. So that's the new panel that was not even on that, like that changed like the day after I put out my social media post. So it happens.
Yep.
I'm excited about that panel. So, you know, it is what it is.
And that's opposite my one of my Catherine Tate introductions, which it's like, I guess like that's I don't know if you saw the graphic, and I know I put the wrong room on it, but like I didn't want to put the Catherine Tate stuff like in with all my other stuff because I'm not even going to be on stage for longer than 20 seconds.
Yeah, but it should still be on your resume.
It's that's why it's at the bottom. It's like, and I'm also welcoming Catherine Tate to the stage.
I think that's a great way to do it.
So but it's like I don't want to be like, I'm going to be there from this week because like I may introduce her on stage and then they're like, OK, you can leave. Like,
Yeah. And who's to say, you know, sometimes we might show that's not to say I'm assuming I'm moderating these panels. I might show up and they may say, you know, we got it. We'll do it ourselves. And I actually, one of them that I'm doing, and I only say this because I have something to reference. Sunday, I have a Star Trek Lower Decks panel, which I'm very excited about. But Tawny Newsome and Eugene Cordero specifically, they did like a duo show on the Star Trek cruise. Mm-hmm. So like I know they're used to doing their own thing, so it would not shock me if they were like, we don't really need a moderator, and it ends up being an introduction thing, but we'll see. But they're also I get the sense from them, they're very like go with the flow types of folks, humble people too, so
right now. But here's the thing, and they've announced this on the town hall, and so we can talk about this part of it, and this may have some of that, is that they have decided, because last year Dragon Card started using Discord to take questions because there was the strike. And what they've done is this year, they're like, you know what? There are some people that are, you know, don't have the mobility to get up to the microphone. There are people that may be watching on DragonCon TV. So we're going to have, and what they're basically doing, the official line is they're going to have the microphone like conventions always have, but the moderators, we are being asked to also look at Discord.
Yep.
And so that might be where you would be in on that panel, is that you would be the one collating through Discord so they don't have to.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
So, you know, or as Pod Culture says, or are too anxious to ask in front of a crowd. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to be more inclusive of people that can't get up to a microphone.
And those questions, like seriously, just a little inside baseball, I guess. 9 times out of 10, those questions are better because you lose the whole people wanting to talk about their own life, which I understand.
Yeah.
People relate. Like I want to be respectful. I understand people have these personal connections. It's why they want to do. But sometimes people forget they're in a crowd of 1,000 people that don't necessarily have that same connection. And they want to tell this very personal story that might be better suited for an autograph or a selfie session. So when you ask the question on Discord, it gets rid of all of that.
Yeah.
So like 9 times out of 10, the Discord questions actually end up better. But I also realize that it's not as quite the bang for the buck for the attendee either. You know,
exactly.
You want to be, some people want to get in front of the crowd and ask their question. And, and I'm fine with that as long as you, you know, keep it succinct.
Yep. Yeah. Questions start with who, what, when, where, why, how, and not I.
Yes. Great rule of thumb.
Or you bring your Q game, they'll bring their A game. Those are other things that I've heard. It's Q&A.
I like that one.
But
I like that one.
Yeah, I stole that from one of the other DragonCon moderators. Anyway, that's next week. What are you going to be talking about?
I stole my new cadence. I always say when I start Rocky Horror Now, I say, ladies and gentlemen, fabulous friends and awesome thems, to be inclusive of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I stole that from DragonCon.
Yep.
So I tweaked it, but I generally I was like, ooh, that has the right cadence I want. So
yeah. So that's next week. What are you going to be talking about tonight?
Well, let's talk about some things that happen at Gamescom. We'll be doing the rundown of some of the announcements from Opening Night Live. You know, some things that are near and dear to my heart, like Civilization VII finally got a reveal. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about some of the timing on Xbox. Just how long, if you're going to be on the budget plan, the Xbox Game Pass standard plan, just how long are you going to have to wait for the new releases? We'll talk about that. Okay. And what came out of the Nintendo Museum Direct. We'll talk about
that
much more. Might be double dipping on some things you talked about, but we'll give our spin on it in just a minute.
I'm ready to go to the Nintendo Museum. I'm ready to go.
I am too, but boy, oh boy, it's going to be just like most Nintendo things. It's going to be scarce to get into it the first couple months.
Well, I mean, it's also all the way in Japan, so it's like I've got to plan that trip too.
It will take some time to get that all situated. Yes.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next, and I'll see you in about 72 hours in person. So thanks so much, Rob.
See you soon.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, or not next Sunday night, 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, because next week I'm going to be at Dragon Con. I'm holding up something from 1997, which was my first Dragon Con. I will be at Dragon Con next week, doing a whole bunch of stuff in the digital media track as well as on main programming. Rob will also be there, and we'll be around together as well at a lot of the weekend. So find us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. There is a conventions chat channel. That is where we will be posting things from the convention, pictures from the convention. You can even say, hey, we want to meet up. Where can I find you? So... also, you can find me on social media at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Blue Sky, at BobbyBlackWolf, other places. Would love to see some of you there. Hey, you know, this show, if you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. And we would not be able to make all this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond here on Twitch to help us kind of just keep the lights on. That's all we're looking for. We're not looking to make a profit. But, you know, there are expenses that are incurred with hosting websites and taxes and being official with the government. So thank you so much, SSJ100 Matt, for your Prime subscription and for Orange Wright for resubscribing. Thank you so much for that. I will see you in 2 weeks, or maybe I'll see you next week if you're going to be at Dragon Con in, you know, 72 hours. So it's going to be Wednesday. Wednesday, it's the new Thursday, it's the new Friday. Soon it's going to be M. Bison Day on Tuesday. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.